Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. This is something that I frequently preach in order to prepare ourselves for our elections in our nation. So we're looking tonight at why Christians must vote, not why Christians should vote, but why Christians must vote. I think Daniel in the Bible illustrates how God used one of his own who was actively involved in government. He was a high official in the Persian Empire. And I also believe that sometimes we don't appreciate what we have until it's taken away. And that is true regarding our freedom. It is said that about 60 million, and I put this in quotes, evangelicals, 60 million evangelicals in America are in America, and less than half of those are registered to vote. Now think about that. 60 million who call themselves evangelicals, and yet less than half are registered to vote. And in the past elections, well, what's half of 60 million? 30 million. And of the 30 million, only half of those even vote. Can you imagine what would happen if evangelicals who claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior, if they would take the challenge that you must vote? You're a Christian. You have a responsibility. 50% of conservative women are not registered to vote. And half of those who are registered to vote do not vote. You know, there's the Calvinistic practice of some believers in witnessing that extends to their view of getting involved in government. Well, whatever's going to be is going to be. What's going to happen is going to happen. You know, I'm glad our founding fathers didn't believe that. Amen. I found this quote from Dr. Noel Smith: if Christian citizens do not exercise in every practical way their privileges and obligations of citizenship, then they should be decent enough to keep their mouths shut about the religious, moral, and political depravity and degeneracy that surrounds them. So if you don't vote, really, you shouldn't be talking. Dr. Noel Smith kind of said things the way they were, as you can see. So voting will take place. It's already begun. And we're going to be voting on 435 members of the House, one-third of the Senate. And so we are electing people who will make laws, who will create budgets, who will choose judges. Is that kind of important? Are we seeing the importance of that lately? They will discuss and make laws or do away with laws concerning moral issues like abortion, sexual perversions, war, stealing from the rich to give to the poor, freedom of speech, laws that directly impact every one of us. Presidents choose judges who will either interpret the laws or make the laws. The problems we face today are there because the people who work for a living are outnumbered by those who vote for a living. I don't even know where I got that. It's just an email that I got from years ago. But I think that really says it. It's interesting how people think that politics and religion are not supposed to be mixed, as if you can keep that separate. By the way, what people believe is their religion. And so if people on the other side believe that abortion is something that everybody should be legalized to do, that's their religion. That's what they believe. That's their religion. What they're trying to do is shut you up when you say that your opinion differs from theirs, and now yours is a religion and theirs is not. That is inconsistent. Christianity, your Christianity, should impact every area of your life, including how you vote. Liberals attempt to silence the truth. The media can endorse a candidate, but I can't. I'm a pastor. I can't do that. A man's worldview influences everything he does. Marxism, Leninism, secular humanism does, and few people object. And yet a biblical Christianity worldview of a you're supposed to remain silent. And this is happening because Christians, how many aren't voting? So in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 to 20, God gives responsibility to people to appoint leaders who were just. Let's read those verses. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just. Notice it doesn't say that which is altogether fair. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God give thee. So from this passage, I want us to see, first of all, when you should vote. And you know what the answer is? Every opportunity you get, your vote is your voice as a Christian. Liberals take every opportunity to share their opinions. Let your opinions be known as well. This election may not be so crucial if people would have voted last time as they ought. I'm not just talking about the presidency, I'm talking about everything. But every election becomes more crucial because more and more people are dropping out. More and more people are saying, well, I'm just not going to get involved. Happens in church too. Well, I'm just not going to do anything. When should you vote? Every opportunity you get. Why should you vote? Well, look again at verse 18. Judges and officers shalt thou make, or literally appoint thee in all thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes. And this is in a theocracy. Judges are the most important office in our land in some respects. And if you don't believe that, look at some of the Supreme Court decisions that have been made in years past. Why should you vote? A few things under this. The responsibility of understanding. And I'd like you to go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and note what we find written here. We would have read this some weeks ago in our chronological Bible reading. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Now go back to verse 31. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. The chapter describes those who were instrumental in supporting David to be the king, instrumental in bringing a good man into office during the time in which Saul had restricted him. Go back to verse 1 of this same chapter, you'll see that. Here's this small, seemingly insignificant tribe, Issachar, but one that had, look at it, their brethren at their commandment. They were leaders. Why? They understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Do you think most people understand the times today? Do you think Christians ought to understand the times more than anybody else? Absolutely. We need Christians to take the lead, therefore, about who we should elect and not leave it up to the mainstream media to have the influence on everybody else. The responsibility of understanding. Secondly, there's the responsibility of leaders. That's why you should vote. Our system of government in America is a representative one. So there's a relationship between the citizen and who that citizen elects. You cannot be neutral by not voting. Did you hear this on the last election? Well, I'm just going to sit this one out. You may as well cast your vote for the one who is opposed to the righteousness that you claim to uphold. One reason some do not vote is because they are uninformed. And being uninformed comes from being lazy. Have you gone through your ballot, by the way? You almost need a doctorate degree to go through the crazy thing. Either that or you've got to have a lot of time on your hands. But you know what? You have to do it. Some people actually think that their vote doesn't count. And they think that's an attitude of humility. No, it's an attitude of pride. For you to say that your vote doesn't count is an attitude of pride. Too proud because your vote is just one among many. You see how it's pride? Well, it's just one vote. Would you vote if yours was the only one? Would you vote? Of course you would. Would you vote if yours was one of eight? Would you vote if yours was only one of 100? Would you vote if yours was one of 1,000? If yours was one of 1,000,000? Pretty soon you say, well, my vote doesn't count. Yeah, so does 14,999,999 other evangelicals. At what point do you say, my vote really does not count? The arrogance or the pride in that is similar to the attitude that, well, people just don't listen to me. So I'm just, that's pride. People don't listen to me. Does your vote really count? I saw this written somewhere, and I've said this before, and I don't even know if this is true, but here's what I've read. Brandon could probably verify this. One vote elected Thomas Jefferson to the presidency in 1800. I think it had to do with the Electoral College. One vote. One vote granted statehood to California. We should have shot that guy. One vote granted statehood to California, Idaho, Oregon, Texas, and Washington. One vote made Lyndon B. Johnson, our 36th president, a senator in 1948. And of course, you all are familiar with the 2000 vote where George Bush won over Al Gore, and that was decided by 537 votes. The responsibility of leaders. Isaiah 1:23 says, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the causes of the widow come unto them. And the other side would say, well, we're the ones who take care of the fatherless and the widows. No, you don't. You steal from us to take care of them to make sure they vote for you. You're not really taking care of them. The responsibility of influence that you have. Christians are to be influencing their society, not the other way around. Who's influencing whom today? Who is it that's influencing? You better believe that the ungodly will be out voting. Those who hate your Christianity will be voting. Those who hate your right to speak your mind will be voting, if you're a conservative, that is. Those who believe in murdering the innocent, they'll be voting. Those who believe or who want to keep those who want to keep it legal to steal your money and give it to somebody else, they'll be voting. Your vote is one way to be the salt and light that Jesus talked about in Matthew. Part of that is encouraging others of like-mindedness to vote. You multiply your own voting power by encouraging or challenging others to vote. When you vote for our leaders, you also help determine how our nation will deal with critical issues like abortion, like judicial nominations, the war on terrorists, marriage and family. Right here in Colorado, marriage and family is going to be under attack like never before if this sodomite gets into office, and it looks like he possibly will. By the way, I'm not endorsing anybody. Not directly. I have every right to preach against sodomy. Because your vote impacts the future of our nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All of us are going to stand before God one day and give an account of the many gifts that God entrusted to us. And the gifts include how and what we did to elect our leaders. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Those who live under dictators like China and Cuba will not be held as responsible as you and I are. So why should I vote? Now for whom should you vote? Look again in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Look at the last part of verse 18 and look at verse 19. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. So vote for somebody who's going to just judge the people with just judgment. Not fairness, but justice. Thou shalt not rest or distort judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Just as important as voting itself, as important as voting itself is who you vote for. Have you ever heard of the name John Jay? John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Notice what he said. Providence has given to our people the choice of the rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Man, can you imagine that being said today? To prefer Christians. Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them. In other words, before you vote, vet. To vet is to subject someone to thorough examination or evaluation. Evaluate them. Are you having a good time trying to decide which judges to vote for? What I did is I went online. Somebody else said they did the same thing. I went online, found out who nominated them, made my decision accordingly. These were to be men, according to Exodus chapter 18, who feared God, who were committed to the truth, who hated dishonest gain. Who hated dishonest gain. Is it right to take money from someone and to give it to somebody else? Who hate dishonest gain. You can tell a lot about a candidate by who most hates him or her. Who endorses him or her. I mean, does it say something to you when Hollywood hedonists don't like somebody? You go, hey, there must be something about that guy. Are there any issues for which we vote that are of concern to you as a believer? Would you help the enemies of God? There was a king by the name of Jehoshaphat who did that very thing, and he was a good king. He allied himself with the wicked king Ahab, and Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Will you ally yourself with those who favor same-gender marriage?" I say it that way because of who's here. Would you ally yourself with those who favor abortion? Would you ally yourself with those who favor liberal activist judges? I mean, go right down the line. A weaker military? Illegal immigration? Somebody who worships the environment? Somebody who bows down to the United Nations and a one world government? Somebody who appeases Islamic murderers rather than taking them to justice and taking justice to them? You favor such a person if you vote for him or if you don't vote against him. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Now, what if the best candidate loses? If you prayed, worked, and voted, you know what? It is in God's hands. But if you didn't vote, you're responsible. How about that for the free will of man and the sovereignty of God? You know what? If you witness to somebody and that man goes to heaven, it's all because God saved him. It's not because you did anything. But if you don't do anything, his blood's on your hands. Don't give up. Get involved. Our tendency is to hope that the Lord is going to come soon and get us out of this mess. But he gave us a commandment. You know what? Do business till I come. Occupy till I come. And what about our salt and light responsibility? And don't put trust in princes. Even when your candidate does serve, he's going to be a disappointment. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to put to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalm 146, verse 3, put not your trust in princes. And that's why the Bible commands us to pray for those who are over us. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Pray. Ezekiel 22:30 says us that God sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should destroy it. But I found none. I don't believe that's true in America yet. But that's something we lose, the freedom that we enjoy if we don't exercise our responsibility. And I believe that Christians, in order to save our country from destruction, we've got to stand in the gap. John Hancock, the first signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God, nobly defend those rights which heaven gave and no man ought to take from us. You can find quotes like this from our forefathers. It's endless. And they are talking about Christians. That's why people say that this was a Christian nation when it was founded. Well, I don't know if I'd call it a Christian nation, but I would sure say it was founded upon Christian principles. And folks, we can keep it that way, and we ought to keep it that way. We're becoming more and more like a nation that's losing its freedom, and it ought to be a concern to us. So what am I praying for this election? I'm just outright praying for one side to win. In every area. I'm praying for a particular governor to win. And I don't even need to mention that guy's name because you know who I'm talking about. And I'm praying in particular for one guy to lose. But if one wins and the one wins that I don't want to win, if he wins, you know what? I'm going to pray for his salvation, but I'm sure also going to pray that his agenda won't be going either. But let's do our duty. If you're a Christian, you must vote. You must vote.